All right, today we begin a new study, the book of Matthew chapter 6, a study that I'm very excited about, I hope that you become very excited about. It's called God's Kingdom First. Now we say that, and we've heard Matthew chapter 6 verse 33 a thousand times, but we're going to talk about how we can actually apply Matthew 6:33. And we're going to start at the end. Today is just an introduction, okay? I tried. I was going to get, and I told Brother Michael I was going to get in a certain place. And after I started, I thought, there's no way I can even get close to where I want to go. So today is just a basic introduction. Now, the overall scheme, and I'll tell you up front, is we've got a building fund project that we're kicking off. This building fund project is, of course, God's Kingdom First. And so that's the idea of what we're introducing today and that we'll be talking about in the coming weeks. So let's all stand. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Verse 33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise You because You are God. There's none beside You. We rejoice in our Savior Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, the only way to the Father. And we rejoice in the sacrifice that He has made for our sins so that we could have a personal relationship with You, Heavenly Father. Now, as we examine this text today, and as we examine Matthew chapter 6, Lord, open our hearts. Make us so that we don't just read it, but Lord, that we receive it. Father, I pray that You put Satan far from this place this morning. Give us open minds and open hearts to receive what You want us to have. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. And as you guess, this is this study today, and the subject today is about giving. Everybody loves to give. And that's the premise we're going to proceed forward with, right? Everybody loves to give. Well, for you to love giving, the first thing you've got to have is the right attitude for giving, okay? And that's the first thing we're going to talk about. As I said, today we kick off God's Kingdom First. It's a building fund drive. And if you just stop and think about it, things at Victory right now are very exciting. We're having guests, pleased to have first-time guests frequently, and the attendance is picking back up, and it's just an exciting time to be at Victory. And another exciting thing is the building plans that have been presented to the church, building plans to expand our education facilities in the back and remodel and update the fellowship hall and the kitchen area back there. That's all exciting things, right? Oh, we can be more exciting than that. That's exciting things, right? Hey, God's blessing. He's setting these opportunities before us. But we got to go into these opportunities with the right attitude. And I want you to understand, as I preach these messages, this isn't about getting in your pocket, right? Matter of fact, it's not even about contributing to a building fund. This is about growing spiritually. If we just say, okay, we're going to contribute to a building fund, that is so very shallow, okay? We want to go deeper than that. We want to contribute to the kingdom of God. And we want to do that with all generosity, right? But here's the problem, something I know. You cannot start preaching about giving, but somebody's going to say, oh, there we go. All they want is money. Every church is the same. Every preacher's the same. Well, let me just offer you this, okay? Number one, God does not need your money. He does not. It's not that God needs your money. You need the opportunity to contribute to the kingdom of God, right? For you to be spiritually healthy, for you to grow spiritually, you need these opportunities. So don't think you're going to do God a favor. Second thing I want you to understand is your giving is between you and God. It's none of my business. None of the church's business. You do what you purpose in your heart, right? And so nobody's going to look and go through the offerings and say, well, these people are giving, these people are not. Nobody's going to do that. I'm going to look at you the same way next week that I look at you this week. with love and respect. Okay? And so this isn't about anybody taking or getting into your pocket. As a matter of fact, if you feel that way, do me a favor. Please don't give. Please don't give anything. Then we can maintain the same relationship we have right now anyway. You're not going to grow. But you know, in all sincerity, I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to try to guilt you into giving. I'm simply going to present what the Bible says about giving and ask you to consider what the Bible says about giving. And as you consider what the Bible says about giving, then I'm going to ask you to do as you feel led. Is that fair? Don't make me start all over. Is that fair? All right. Very good. So we got to have the right attitude for giving, right? The understanding of the things that I've just shared. Second thing we've got to understand are the principles of giving. Okay? Principle number one. What you get depends on what you give. I'm going to pause here and let that soak in just a little bit, okay? What you get depends on what you give. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. We're going to read that. And understand, when I make these statements, I'm not making these statements because I made them up. They're coming from the Word of God. You get what you get based on what you give. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 says, "But I say this, he who sows sparingly..." Now, let's do this differently. I'm all about different today. We're going to read this together. Okay? Let's do it together. "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Okay? That's what God has to say. Now, this doesn't take rocket science. It doesn't take a doctorate degree to figure out what that verse says. It's very simple. You get what you sow. Right? When the farmer plants, he doesn't plant and say, "Bye-bye, seed, I'm done." He plants expecting a harvest. It is okay for you to expect a harvest on what you plant. As a matter of fact, that's the principle that's given here, right? And you know, many people are not blessed, are not being blessed, because they're not sowing. Okay, that's just the long and short of, oh, they'll throw a five in the offering plate or a ten in the offering plate, just enough to soothe their conscience. But listen, that's not what giving is. It's not what it's about. I don't want you to give that way. God doesn't want you to give that way. He wants you to understand giving. And godly giving is you sow or you reap what you sow. Actually, you reap more than you sow, right? You say, "Brother Doug, I just don't know." Well, let's consider Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10 says, "Bring all the tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Again, this doesn't require a doctorate degree to figure out what this verse says. You see, if you wonder and you think, "Well, okay, Brother Doug, you made a point, but I just don't know if I can get there." God says, "Try me. Give it a shot. Make a commitment for a period of time and say, I'm going to give, and this is what I'm going to give, and test the Lord." That's what He says in Malachi. And you say, well, Brother Doug, that's Old Testament. And we all know Old Testament doesn't count, right? Actually, it does. But if that's your mentality, let's go to the New Testament. Let's go to the New Testament. New Testament version of Malachi 3:10 is Luke 6:38. There it says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You get, or what you get, depends upon what you give. That's what it says. And for some reason, people cannot come to grips with that. Have you ever thought, why can't I make ends meet? Have you ever had that? Why can't my finances, why can't I pay my bills? Check your giving. Have you ever thought, why can't I get ahead? I make more money now than I've made all in my entire life, and I can't seem to ever get ahead. Check your giving. And I'm going to tell you from personal experience, okay? My personal experience is this. When I am generous to God, God is generous to me. Okay? That's just the fact. What you give depends, what you get depends upon what you give. Second fact is, what you get depends on what you can handle. You see, the mentality is this is some prosperity preaching. No, that's not it at all. Okay? This isn't you give $10 today, God's going to give you $10,000 tomorrow. No. I know they preach that on TV all the time, but the best advice I can give you when they start that is change the channel. Okay? This is not about getting rich. This is about being blessed. And there's a big difference. Okay? Sometimes blessings don't always come in money. Also, God knows what you can handle. As His child, He knows what you can handle. And you must admit, there are some things you cannot do well. If you're good at everything, raise your hand. No. We all have our gifts, right? And God knows what your gift is. But here's what you have to understand. Money has ruined a lot of people. God knows whether you can handle riches or not. And in most cases, the worst thing you can do to an individual is to flood him with money when he does not know how to handle it. Okay? Time and time again, and people have won the lottery and they've had all these riches. A year later, they're flat broke. Why? Because they did not know how to handle it. And they will tell you, it ruined my life. Money can be that thing that you're not very good at. Right? And if you don't believe what I say, you watch. When someone dies and there's a big inheritance to be had, you watch. What's going to happen? There's going to be a fight. Not because somebody died, not because they're sad that somebody died, they lost a parent, a grandparent, but because somebody feels that they didn't get the money that they thought they should have had. That's the first sign that you cannot handle wealth. Right? When it becomes very selfish. I was reading the book of Proverbs, chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Here, this needs to be our attitude toward wealth. Okay? It says, remove falsehood and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food allotted for me. That word allotted means appropriate. The idea with that verse is, Lord, give me what I can handle. Why? lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? How many rich people do you know that are really faithful in church? I'm talking about the filthy rich people, you know, the elite, as they call them. Not very many. But they'll back up and say, who's the Lord? I've gained what I have myself. See, I don't. And this prayer is, Lord, I don't want to be that person. Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of God. You see, God can give you too much, and He can also give you too little. I want to be right there where God knows I can handle. Right? Amen? Don't you? We're not out to get rich. We're here to honor God. And the desire should be, Lord, give me only what I can handle well for Your honor and for Your glory. That has to be our view toward money, toward everything. But we've got to start. We've got to find a standard for our giving. All right? We've talked about the giving itself. Let's find the standard. What is the standard of giving? Well, you'll never guess what I'm going to say. Giving starts with the tithe. You can read the notes. Giving starts with the tithe. You say, oh, here he goes, tithing. I'm just telling you the standard that God has put forth. And that standard is tithing. It is estimated, according to a Barna study that I read somewhere, and I read several studies, and so they're about this far apart, but between 4% and 20% of church members tithe. It can be in that range. 4% to 20%. That's not very much. You see, tithing is God's standard. It has always been God's standard. You say, wait a minute, Brother Doug, that tithing thing, that is law of Moses. No, it wasn't. Well, it was included in the law. However, it was before the law. You know, Abraham tithed before the law. He gave 10% to Melchizedek, Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. Jacob promised to tithe before the Lord, to the Lord, Genesis 28, 22. He said, if God brings me back safely, I'll give all that I have, or 10% of all that I have to God. You say, Brother Doug, what's so special about that? That's before there was a law of Moses. Right? And I'm going to give you something that you need to chew on right here. Did you know Jesus said you need to tithe? Do you know that? Jesus said tithe. Well, where is that, Brother Doug? I'm glad you asked. Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. See, the Pharisees were tithing, and Jesus approached, or they approached Jesus, and you know how they were, all haughty and everything. And Jesus said, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe and of mint and anise and cumin. They were so legalistic that they went to the spices in their shelves and they tithe according to spices in the shelves. But look, it says, and you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, which is justice, mercy, and faith. See, they're all legalistic about tithing and they ignored the really important stuff, which is mercy and faith, justice. But look what he says. He says, let's read this together. These you ought... No, we're not together. These you ought to have done. Stop right there. What does that phrase mean? Well, if you look it up in the Greek, it means just what it says. You're supposed to do these things. You're supposed to do what? You're supposed to tithe. Jesus is taking it for granted that everybody understands that the tithe is the standard for giving. He says you ought to do these things without leaving the others undone. It's there. It's there. Coming from Jesus. So never back up and say, well, the tithe is something that was just restricted to the law, because it was not. It's been the given standard since the beginning of time. Giving requires that you start, and listen to me, that you start with the tithe. Right? That's just your consistent giving. Week to week, month to month, year to year. That's your consistent giving. But there's also special offerings that you give above and beyond the tithe. You say, Brother Doug, you're trying to fleece me. No, we're not. We're trying to put you in a position to be blessed. Why? Because what you sow or what you receive depends upon what you give. It's what the Word says. And we're trying to put you in that position. I promise you this. Everybody listen. You will live better giving God 10% and living on the other 90% than you will live if you keep 100% to yourself. I'm a living example of it. There was a time in life I did not tithe. There's time right now. I live by tithe. My tithe's going in because I have learned God gets it one way or another. Right? But when I honor Him, that 90% always seems to be more than enough to get by. Right? Second thing, giving also requires sacrifice. Here's the hard part. You know, when you talk about giving and sacrificial giving, that means I'm willing to give up something so that I can contribute to the kingdom of God for the glory of God. I'm going to do without so God's kingdom can prosper. That's the idea behind sacrificial giving. Okay? And once again, I fear that there are many people who very seldom come to this point where they want to do sacrificial giving, you know. But the reality is when you can back up and say, I'm not going to get this for myself so that I can give to God and to the kingdom of God. There is a special blessing with that. There is a blessing with that. And instead of giving to the point where we, you know, we're not, there is no sacrifice. Back up and look at David's example. There was a plague in Israel, and David was told that he had to make a sacrifice to stop the plague. And so he goes to a field that was belonged to a guy named Araunah. And in 2 Samuel 24:24, David says, quick, I want to buy your field. And so Araunah says, no, yes, no, you don't need to buy it. I give it to you. Make your offering. And you know what David said? David said, then the king said to Araunah, No. But I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David understood giving. David said, I'm not going to give something to God that cost me nothing. Because there's no heart in that. There's no, if you can't, if there's no heart in it, God doesn't want it. I'll just be honest with you. Okay? So, Brother Doug, how do we get there? I want to be generous. Brother Doug, I want to tithe. But to be honest with you, Brother Doug, it makes me uncomfortable. I understand that. But here's what you got to know. You got to start somewhere. And this thought brings us to our theme for this study. Theme for this study is seek first the kingdom of God. Right? You've got to get this in your mind and not just about giving, but about life. Are you ready? Seek first the kingdom of God. You've got to get this priority. What's wrong with church? You know, why is church attendance so hit and miss? People haven't made the priority. Why is giving so hit and miss? People haven't made the priority. Why can't you get people to come to Bible study class on Sunday morning? People hadn't made the priority. Oh, we'll go to baseball, football, everything else. But you know, when it comes to God, we just kind of hit or miss. You haven't made the priority. Listen, you're not going to be spiritually satisfied. You are not going to grow spiritually until you come to the point where God is the priority. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, when it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God," once again, you do not need a doctorate degree to figure that out. It means put God first in everything. Giving? Yes, God first. Serving? Yes, God first. Everything. You see, this is not just about money. That's just a small part. And I hope you understand. This isn't about money. This is about discipleship. This is about saying, God, you are the number one priority in my life. It all belongs to you, God. My life is in your hands. And so every decision I make, you're going to be at the top for all to see. You see, that's the commitment that we're talking about. It starts with your personal commitment. And the only way you'll ever really make that commitment is when you understand there is a promise that goes along with that commitment. When it says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Your job is to but seek first. But if you do that, somebody else is going to be involved. Seek first the kingdom of God and what is the next one? Let's read it together. All these things shall be added to you. If you will seek first the kingdom of God and make God the priority, God's going to take care of everything else. That's what it means. Not some things. Yeah. Well, you know, God might be able to help me make my electric payment, but you know, I got a car payment too. Let God take care of these things. And I am not saying, please understand, I'm not saying quit your job, God's just going to open the windows of heaven and pour out money. No, God says if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay? This isn't get rich quick stuff. This is thinking, determining in your heart type giving what God would have you to give. And when you make God the priority, He says, then I'm going to take care of everything else. And I love that. And the reason I love that is because that means I don't have to worry. As a matter of fact, that's why God made this statement, because they were worried about how am I going to live, what am I going to eat, and what am I going to wear. He said, don't worry about those things. Just make God the priority. Just make God the priority. And all these things, I love that word all these things shall be added. So, what are we going to do today? Well, I'm glad you asked. This is the conclusion. I do not want you to give a dime to this building fund today. Please do not. Please do not. The finance committee may be having a heart attack right now. I don't know. But I want to ask you to take this week and pray. Can we do that? Take this week and pray and ask God, God, what do you want me to give to this building project? Okay? You pray with an open mind. Don't make up your mind. You know, sometimes before we pray, we think, well, I'm going to give X amount of dollars. And no, just clear your mind. Go to God and say, God, what do you want me to give? Can you do that? Can you do that? Can you do that? I'm asking you, just pray. Pray this week. God, what do you want me to give to this building fund? But I'm also going to ask you to pray something else. God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to serve you, Lord? You see, giving is such a small thing. It really is. Once you start tithing and once you start giving, I'll be honest with you, it's not a big deal. It's really not. The big deal is when you start devoting your life to going in the direction God wants you to go. When you say, Lord, here am I, send me. Whatever direction, Lord, wherever, whoever you want me, Lord, that's what I want to do. Pray this week, not only about what I'm going to give, but how I'm going to serve the Lord in the coming days. Because, see, that's what it means to make God the priority. And until you have guidance from God, don't give. Don't give. But when you have guidance from God, you give so fast that the devil can't even see you coming, right? You can do it on the kiosk, you can write a check, whatever you want to do. But understand this. The only way that we as a church and you as an individual are going to prosper is when we quit putting God on the back burner and quit using phrases like, when I get around to it, or one of these days I'm going to, when we lose that kind of thinking and say, God, you're first, that's when things will change. That's what I'm asking you to do this week. Pray about it. Make God first. And in the future, you'll have opportunity to give, right? But you pray about it. Now, you may be here today, and this has been a church member message, and I know that. But there are probably lost people here. Listen, I want to share this with you. I want to share the greatest gift that was ever given. I've been talking about people giving to the Lord. You got to understand the why. You see, the why I want to give to the Lord is because what He has given for me. He gave His life upon the cross of Calvary as the sacrifice for my sins. You see, I'm a sinner. My sin has to be punished. That's what the Bible says. All sin comes short of the glory of God. My sin had to be punished. And so Jesus went to the cross to pay for my sin. Just makes sense, right? He gave His life so that I could have everlasting life. And I'll make it even larger. He gave His life so that you could have everlasting life. Are you a child of God? If not, it's very simple. The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is when you come to Jesus and you ask Him to save you. But you come to Jesus, you ask Him to save you with the understanding. It's not just words. It's not about walking down the aisle. It's about giving yourself wholly and completely to Jesus Christ. If you're not saved, I want to ask you to do that this morning. If you are saved, I want to ask you to join me in prayer right now for those who aren't. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, it's such a joy to be your child. Father, I pray that, Lord, in this message today, that people don't see me, but rather they see your word. Father, sometimes it's hard. It's hard for us to be generous when we know what your word says, yet in our minds we concern ourselves with what if. But Lord, we know your word says that if you're first, all these things will be added. So Lord, today we want to make you first. In everything, from giving to serving to everything, Lord. You be our Lord, our King, and your will be done. Now in this service, Lord, I pray for those who are lost, that they would come to you for salvation. We give you all glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.